Chapter 1. The Human Quest. Christian theology has lost its way because it has neglected its purpose. We believe the purpose of theology is to discern, articulate, and commend visions of flourishing life in light of God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ. The flourishing of human beings and all God's creatures in the presence of God is God's foremost concern for creation, and should therefore be the central purpose of theology. With this manifesto, we aim to return theology to itself so it can better serve communities of Christian conviction and participate in truth-seeking cultural conversation about flourishing life for all. The theology that has lost its way is, above all, professional academic theology, which is only a subset of Christian theology as a whole. In an important sense, all Christians are theologians. As Christians, we seek to think and speak plausibly about our journeys with Christ into our own and the world's fullness, to make the practice of faith coherent. Call this everyday theology. From the beginning, in the very earliest Christian communities, however, doing theology was not only a general practice, but also a special calling. The apostles and teachers were the first theologians. Call this church theology. In the course of the history of Christianity, theologians were gradually distinguished from teachers, and in more recent centuries, theology became an academic discipline, even a disciplinary specialization, as when theologians are distinguished from biblical scholars, church historians, or ethicists. People who engage in such specialized activity are professional, or more narrowly, academic theologians. It is about them and their activity. It is about us and our activity, as both writers are theologians in this sense, that we are primarily concerned in this book. We use theology primarily to designate this special calling to understand the practice of faith. In the second chapter, we describe the contemporary crisis of theology. Starting with the third chapter, we offer a proposal for its renewal, arguing for the version of theology whose purpose is to discern, articulate, and commend visions of flourishing life. In this chapter, we explain in broad and formal terms what we mean by flourishing life, and why and how the question of flourishing life matters today. This is a book about the future of Christian theology, but Christian theology is about an issue that concerns all human beings in a fundamental way. Why flourishing life? By flourishing life, we mean the good toward which humans are meant to strive. It names not so much any number of things we desire, but the ultimate goal of our striving along with the values that determine what is truly worth desiring. We use the term more or less interchangeably with true life, good life, life worth living, human fullness, life that truly is life, and more. Though the good life is a technical term in classical philosophy and in the Christian theology that developed in conversation with it, we prefer flourishing life, because it is universal in scope, tying the good life of humans to the good life of all God's creatures, and because it avoids the popular connotations of good life that evoke images of extravagant consumption. Granted, flourishing can conjure visions of life aloof from hardship and oppression, so we will sometimes use true life to make space for the arduous forms that the best of human lives will often have to take on this side of the full realization of God's new creation, and under the conditions of sin. Each of these terms has its own intellectual pedigree in the broad tradition of reflection on human nature, destiny, and place in the world. For us,